Il-program li ser tisimaw uwa miġjub lilkom bi xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.
This is Patricia Camilleri, welcoming you to University Matters on Campus FM. In this series, together, we shall continue to discover more about the work of the university's academics and about the many activities that will be taking place on campus over the next year. I'm very happy to have with me today in the studio for University Matters on Campus FM, Mr. Andy Linus, who has been with the university now for about 3 months, working as manager within the Takeoff Business Incubator. And he's accompanied by Mr. Adrian Gutt, who is representing one of the incubating companies, Discountive. And he will be telling us more about that company during the program. So just a few words about Mr. Linus. His spectrum of experience has created a valuable and interesting mix of skills. He has experience in training and coaching from co-founding and developing a human resources training company and coaching high technology startups at Startup Incubator in Estonia. Working as a management consultant has exposed Mr. Linus to challenges of many industries. His startup experience comes from co-developing a medical IT project in Sweden, co-managing prototyping fund Prototron, and managing the Technopol startup incubator with a portfolio of 20 early stage ventures. Holding a master's in business design from Chalmers University of Technology in Sweden gives Mr. Linus an extended knowledge in building and extracting business, social and customer value based on high-tech innovations. Welcome to you both, Andy Linus and Adrian Gutt. I think we ought to start off with a kick-off question, a pretty obvious one really, a definition of incubator in this context of business.
I would define it as environment. So a lot of people think of incubator as space, physical space, but it's essentially much more than that. It's environment that helps early stage ventures to succeed, and whatever needs to support that is incubator. So it's mentorship program, it's the package of services that are applied to that, it's a network of high net worth people who are helping companies. So that all brings together into something we call incubator.
What about the importance of these incubating companies, some of which might succeed, some of which might not, of course, within the economy today? Where are these companies placed, really?
There have been done many researches in the history of incubation, and I'm not sure there is one single answer of actual success rate, but the ideology behind it is that incubators increase success rate of early stage company because it's highly volatile and uncertain for early stage company to take off. And the interest from government side has been always to support small and medium companies to generate jobs. And we know that at least in Europe, majority of GDP has been created by small and medium companies.
In fact, Malta itself is very much a microcosm of that, because I know I don't have the statistic in my head at the moment, but a large amount of GDP is created through SMEs, really, here in Malta. So these companies that you're dealing with now, or these potential companies that you're dealing with now, are hopefully going to become the SMEs of tomorrow.
Definitely. We don't know, again, the success rate, but it has huge potential. Nowadays, we're moving towards a more innovation-driven economy. 20 years ago, companies used to be their value in their accounting value was mostly assets, you know, the machinery they had. Nowadays, their majority of the value is intellectual property. So technology development and innovation is driving force for next generation companies. And the beauty of that, if they become successful, if they actually find that problem they need to solve in the society and make business out of that, they are hugely scalable businesses. So they can grow in very quick time their job placements by hundreds of people, literally, and acquiring investment capital to do so.
Let's talk a little bit about intellectual property, because it is always considered a rather thorny issue, because people have an idea and they would like to protect that idea, and it's actually quite expensive to actually protect your intellectual property if you're just somebody out there who's decided that they want to develop a certain type of software or something like that I'm inventing. But you have to actually make sure that your idea can't be taken by somebody else, and that's quite an expensive thing. And how can an incubator help people with an IP problem or a challenge?
I think the problem is, from my perspective, usually your mindset. It's not the problem of protection. I mean, when we look at intellectual property, in very general matter, it's not only patents or technical description of your technology that you're disclosing. When I talk about intellectual property, I mean it in a very broad way. It's ideas, it's knowledge that has been accumulated over time through research that can't be protected. And we know throughout the history that there are very successful companies who work on just business secret. I mean, Coca-Cola or, you know, recipe. You can't protect that. And IT business is really very vulnerable to that, because copyright is the one that protects the code. And it's really easy to reverse engineer the program or software. So you actually you almost never protect it. So how you protect that is finding out how to keep it intact. So that's why cloud-based businesses are a really good way to go around it, because you still hold the code within you, and then you just show the interface to the world. And building structures around your business so that you just withhold the actual knowledge how to do that. So you're safe to tell what you're doing, but you don't say secret source how you're doing
that. I think that is important, and it's interesting to see that you're suggesting a way that that can be done. What about statistics? You gave me something to read before this interview so that I get to know a little bit the subject. 800 incubators around the world?
Let me specify here. Actually, incubators around the world is 9,000, but 800 are university-based incubators.
Good point.
So, and there is research around 400 university-based incubators, university-based incubator index being created by one of my fellow students at Chalmers University, actually. And they have looked at 400 of them to see what distinguishes more advanced and more successful incubators from the average ones. And mostly, it's interesting how it differs. So the ones that have more ideas to choose from, so a successful one would have maybe 1,000 ideas pitched to them per year, whereas average would see maybe 200. So the difference is 5 times. Secondly is the mentorship network they can apply. So the successful ones have really serial entrepreneurs, successful people who want to give back, and they're doing it without any stake in the business.
This always seems a little bit too much of a good thing to me. Are there really these wonderful mentors out there who are prepared to do something for nothing?
Yes. I mean,
glad to hear it.
If you have exited from your own business with 100 million profit, then or you have gone through a really hard time where nobody actually helped you to achieve that success, you kind of feel you want to give back or change something, and that's where they come in. So they achieve higher success rates, companies coming through these incubators, and that feeds back again that more ideas apply. So it's kind of like circle, success circle, right?
Yes, virtuous circle.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the fact that there are these 800 university-based incubators, yeah, and obviously many more, which are in a different context. Yeah. The university-based ones, do they have particular advantages? Or I'm not talking specifically about Malta, we'll talk about ours later. But do you think that there is an advantage in having a university-based incubator? Do they do any better than the others? I mean, perhaps you don't know that statistic, but in general.
I think it's a question of focus. So briefly, to go into quick history in a nutshell, incubators started in an early 70s in US. Mostly it was government-owned approach to facilitate small and medium businesses. They would refurbish warehouse or left offices spaces, and they would give only service-based support, like sharing secretary or having sharing the meeting room or something like this. In 80s, when their first researches were done about this incubation model, it ventured out to different industries and ways to apply that model, and it landed in universities as well. And universities saw it as a tool to help to venture out spin-offs from academia.
So their own researchers.
Yes, so knowledge transfer offices applied it to their own model. US being a leader here, because there we have privately held universities like Stanford, for instance, where they were more business savvy or business minded around their academic research. So they built business around the research, actually, how to sell it to big corporates, and the incubators playing a huge role in that.
So there would have been certain universities which would already have that kind of attitude, that kind of mindset,
yes,
more,
yes,
than others.
So the university-based incubators are more technology-focused than other ones, I would say. That's the main difference.
Well, let's turn to Malta for a moment and see what the startup landscape is here in Malta and Gozo.
So I'm here 3 months. Like, I wouldn't consider myself the expert of Maltese landscape.
Fair
but
enough.
But my early analysis shows different gaps. So how the way I view the landscape, startup landscape, is like value chain. Definitely it starts in very early stages of entrepreneurial education, even from schools it should be done. Then the stages of platforms that help to create new business ideas, to bring together different people from different backgrounds, make them do something together, and maybe competitions where they can pitch their idea and get rewards, so that the incubators would have enough ideas to work on. And past that is supporting structure of financing, business angels and entrepreneurs who support this community around incubators. So this would be one value chain from beginning to the end. So when we are building new incubators, it's not an island. Like it's all interconnected. We have to look at this. And looking at that, I mean, there are, I think, incubators opened up in Malta now in a couple of years now. Right, it's not old thing. So average incubator age all over the world is 9 years old, is the average incubator.
Pretty young anyway.
And Swedish statistics say that it takes 8 years for average incubator to breed that kind of success that is acknowledged by the society. So a really successful company. So I think we still need 6 years at least to see how this model works for Malta. But now looking at the gaps, I think Malta is a small place, which is not necessarily bad. People are really passionate here, really business-minded. They like to, make business and sell things. That's my impression, at
yes,
least.
Maltese are mercantile and have been for many, many hundreds of years.
Which is a problem, for instance, for Estonians. They're really they're really bad at selling their ideas. They're good at creating ideas, but they're really bad at selling that. So the people or the material, human resources here are really good, I think, to build on as well. A very rich environment in that sense of expatriates that come here. There are enough resources as well. I mean, the amount of money being accessible in Malta and ending up in Malta, and the tax infrastructure around this, it's all very, very good. But when we create business competitions for business plans, the quality of ideas at the moment and the attitude of entrepreneurial, that mindset, is not yet to the level that I would wish to see. So meaning that entrepreneurs need to share more, not to be afraid that their idea is taken away. They need to learn to work in teams.
To open up a bit.
Yes, because it's not always about idea, it's about the team and people who are able to bring this to the market successfully, so execution.
So that's a very good moment, I think, now to move on to how Takeoff is really helping this entrepreneurial environment. So tell us a bit about Takeoff and where it sits within the university.
Okay. So Takeoff was opened in April last year, so we're not even a year old. We're in a month we will be having our first candle on the cake. It was set up as part of Center of Entrepreneurship and Business Incubation and Knowledge Transfer Office to aid also University of Malta for the staff and the students and the research that is being produced here, to commercialize that. Yet again, when the infrastructure and resources are very early for the incubator to fill the whole resources to utilize it fully, it will take a long time still to bring enough ideas from the university, right? So Takeoff eventually opened up to larger public as well, just to keep building the necessary infrastructure and support infrastructure for that.
Meaning, you have a number of projects going already.
Yes, we have 15 projects. Most of them have been brought in by my predecessor, Ben McClure. I'm working also on new ideas being brought in as well. So 15 projects, we have them in three different stages. I call them concept stage, which there is maybe a person or a team who have an idea and they don't know what to do with that. Then there is a pre-seed stage, so they have been able to build their first prototype of technology, very early stage thing to present to first clients and get the feedback. And usually their challenge is to reach the first clients. And there is a seed stage where the company is more mature, they have their minimum viable product, they have their first clients, they have their first sales. And they're working mostly on how to grow the company quickly and internationalize. And for that, they need a significant amount of investments. And that's the whole support that Takeoff is giving. Firstly, understanding that projects in different stages need different approach and different support.
So they're being given the support, which is perhaps financial, the mentors, etc. But they're also being given office space, place to sit down and chat with others. I've been down to the offices of Takeoff and it's very relaxing. There's a coffee room and sort of has a good atmosphere.
Yes, we have a building here in campus. It's near an engineering department. It's three stories high. We have open office space where you know, entrepreneurs can just come in and work out of there. It's really, we hope that they connect between each other and actually communicate, because a lot of them face the same challenges.
Sure, they can feed off each other, really.
Exactly. Then we have office spaces for the ones that need a bit more distance, or they have maybe technology that needs to be kept away and locked away. And we have, you know, events rooms, lounge room, everything to facilitate that kind of community and communal way of creating your idea.
Well, perhaps this is a good point at which to bring in Adrian Gatt of Discountif to tell us about his experience at Takeoff.
Okay, so I'll introduce a bit ourselves at Discountif. Basically, Discountif is a retail proposition. It's an innovative online discounts platform whereby we offer a unique proposition to our customers where they can benefit from discount on the purchase, but it all depends on the outcome of an event to which they tie their purchase to. So maybe sounds a bit complicated, but this is a nutshell, just a bit of an example. If, say, you can buy a television from our website, and if Chelsea win the Champions League this year, they'll get the money back. So it's basically, we're combining the thrill of winning a bet with the benefits of an online discount site. So it's a bit of a...
Sounds great.
Yeah. We're calling it B-commerce, because we're combining a bit of e-commerce, which is the normal online sites that you find online, with a bit of betting, but not on the normal sense of betting. It's more of a mechanism that allows us to give cash back.
And what stage are you now, really?
On what Andy has just explained, we're probably on the third stage of that, so we're past the pre-seed stage. We have launched our product on beta version in the middle of last summer, so we've been a bit around 5 to 6 months now online, but on beta version. We've had our first sales, we have grown our customer base, and we're now also on the stage of getting a further round of investment to improve our product. And based on so what we have done so far in the beta version, we have sort of validated our concept. We've got our first customers, we've listened to what they had to say about us. For example, you can buy a Liverpool top, and it's based on an outcome of a Liverpool football match. You'll have customers say, look, I'd like the Newcastle football kit, but you don't have the Newcastle football kit, or I'd like to buy a PlayStation, and you've tied it down to an Arsenal event, but I'm not an Arsenal fan, and I want to have a Chelsea event. So it's more trying to be a bit more exigent to what the requirements of the client is. So the current beta version is more of a, we give the proposition to the customer, and it's like a hit and miss. So I've come onto the site, I found a product that I really like, it's tied to an event that, or a team or something that is interesting for me, and I'm interested to go for that promotion. But if I come on the site and I don't find either a product or an event or something that is related to what I like, I'm not going to purchase. So it's more, the idea now is to get further investment, looking at two things. First of all, we have launched the product in the UK market only. It doesn't mean we're going to remain there. Actually, we're looking to grow internationally. Malta would be one of the places we would also launch and operate our company. So we're looking at internationalization of the company. And secondly, we're looking at obviously improving our product. Our product being the site itself, the online platform. Sort of, we are a marketplace, really and truly, so where someone can come onto our site and find anything they would like, and the purchase would be tied to any sort of event that we would even allow them to choose the sort of event they'd like to tie up with the purchase.
So it depends quite a bit on feedback from your customer base.
Yes,
really.
We have, like I said, the past 6 months have been critical for us, because apart from validating our proposition, we've gotten a lot of feedback from the customers, and now we know where we need to focus our attention, and we have identified where we need to invest further and to grow, and ideally grow fast. So it's an interesting concept. We try to be a bit quirky as well with our propositions. For example, we've had some propositions over Christmas time that if someone buys, I don't know, a PlayStation, and if it was a white Christmas in London, they get the money back. We've had propositions related to the Scottish referendum vote. And the Scottish were very patriotic, you know, and they were walking around with their Scottish rugby kits around. So what we did, we offered the Scottish rugby kit on our site. People were buying the Scottish rugby kit, national kit, and if the vote was yes, they would have gotten the money back. Unfortunately, it wasn't the case. But the way we put our proposition is that whether the event happens or not, for us, in terms of the profit for the company, doesn't make a difference. So ideally, we come up with propositions that will pay back, because we want customers to win the money back, because it creates an engaging proposition for them. In fact, we have our tagline sort of shop, cheer and win. So you buy something, then you're going to cheer for that event, and hopefully if the outcome is good, you're going to win some money back.
That sounds great, I must say.
It's very engaging.
The sky's the limit, I'm sure, with the ideas. So we look forward to hearing more about that. We should perhaps mention also the seed fund, which I think the government has been giving some money to. You can apply for the fund and or get awarded if you have a good idea. So you've had some money from there.
Yeah, Takeoff Seed Fund Award has been offered by Minister Cardona and the Minister of Economy. It's happening this year, second time. We are awarding €100,000 to really early stage concept ideas. Discount if being one of the receiving parts here, and they build their first prototype based on that. So it's a good example that it actually helps to make significant change and get closer to the market.
Well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. Thank you both very much indeed, Mr. Andy Linas and Mr. Adrian Gatt, for coming to talk to us about Takeoff and about Discountive. And the best of luck to both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to University Matters on Campus FM. Do join me again next week. This is Patricia Camilleri saying goodbye.
Il-programm li għadkom kemm smajtu kien miġjub lilkom bix-xewqa tajba ta' Farsons Foundation.